Welcome to Buckeye History Live, the podcast about Ohio State University history straight from the university archives. I'm Lindy Smith, Research Services Archivist.
And I'm Michelle Drobick, Audiovisual Archivist. We'll be your tour guides on a journey to reveal the captivating details behind the people, places, and events that make up OSU's history.
This episode is the third and final part of our series on civil rights, and the last episode we're going to be releasing for a while. We're taking a break from bringing you new content so we can focus on some of the other exciting projects we're currently working on, like moving almost half of our collections to a new storage facility, getting all of our finding aids into an online database so that anyone anywhere in the world can search our collections, and celebrating the archive's 50th anniversary. We hope to see you again after the dust has settled. And now, back to our regularly scheduled episode. You're about to hear a recording that was made of a rally held on the Oval on April 5th, 1968, the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Be aware that there is some profanity and violent language that might not be suitable for children.
As a link to peace.
Excuse me. Sir? Excuse me?
Hey, why don't the white cameras leave? Because they don't need to hear about it either. They can photograph when it happens.
If you'll all turn around, you'll notice that the flag is at half mast, and I wonder if it belongs that high. You know, it's sort of difficult for me to speak anytime you find me that I can't, like, rap into something wrong real fast. Martin Luther King was a black man who based his revolution on loving thy enemy, as Malcolm said. He was one of the few men who walked down the street hand in hand as white cops bust him in the head, and so forth. But in relation to Martin Luther King, his death, and this is the way you have to relate to his death, out of respect to the man. I respect the man a great deal. I differ with him on many points. I agree more with what Stokely says, but in relation to King, you're here because of him, and his death relate to it as he would like you to relate to it. He would hope that his death would bring some kind of cohesiveness within the country, a mental kind of cohesiveness. I'm sure he would. He always believed in apple pie as cream and mother. I never have. Apple pie has worms in it, the ice cream is rotten, and mother's a prostitute. And it's been proven time and time again. Some of my black brothers and sisters have said to you, white students, that they will not talk to you. Whatever they say, I back 100%. But I say to you in turn, it is an American problem. And there's no doubt about that. So I really hope that you do something to end all the lip service empathy and quit sitting there in your dorm saying, I didn't pull the trigger, I didn't throw the bomb, because that doesn't cut it, baby. You're not doing anything to stop it. When 500 black babies die in Birmingham, Alabama from lack of medical facilities, food, doctors, and all this kind of thing, none of you are there, but none of you do a damn thing to stop it. It's called institutional racism. There are two kinds, overt and covert. The individual white man against the individual black man. You can see it on television cameras and so forth. And then there's institutional racism. Bill 996 is institutional racism. You let it pass. You did nothing about it. You were not among the legislators who passed the bill. So you said, I am, like, on the outside. I have nothing to do with this bill. But it's a lie. I mean, it's like walking around saying my vote doesn't count. Well, enough suckers get hung up in that way. Well, you can damn well bet that politicians will have a pretty big tongue to do a hell of a lot of licking with. And it's as simple as that, you know. I'm not hung up, you know, right now with hating you or anything like that. I want the man's death to mean something to you, you know. The things you can do, I don't know what it is, you know, because you're white, and the reason you fear black power is because of your knowledge of white power, so you know what to do to get it together. I certainly hope you do. I don't know, That's about all I have to say, but the school itself is a messed up place. There's a quota on Jewish and black students in the medical department. There are million and one things that go down right here. You don't have to march all over the face of the earth talking about we shall overcome to accomplish something. You know, it starts right here at first, and after it gets to going there, then the effect will be shown. And I certainly hope you get that you do decide to do something, and not therapeutically.
Thank you, Brother Payne. Yeah. I'd like to ask a question. You know, like I've been watching all the white people come over from the Aretha Franklin thing that you had over there. And I'd like to know one thing. Like, what is a liberal, you see? You're always talking about, well, I'm liberal, you know. How many of you white people are willing to die, you see? We're talking about life and death. You can call it militant if you want. You can put this in your paper, too, buddy, you know. You can call it militant if you want, you see. But all you cats that consider yourselves, what do you call them, hippies nowadays? It's a hippie, right? It used to be a beatnik or whatever you call it. The kind of cats who used to go down and ride the buses down south with the black people to try to get freedom. We shall overcome. What has happened to you? What has happened to you? You see, you can always leave the south and go back to your home in the suburbs up north. But what about the black brothers and sisters who had to stay down there? See? What about the black sisters and brothers who went down there and got killed? You see, it's like, I want to know what a liberal is. I want to know what all you white people are doing here in the first place. You want to come here and see what we got to say, right? You're coming to see the niggas, right? Right? Is there anybody in here that's white that has something to say? Of value? You have something to say?
Hey, Dave.
Why don't you come here and say it?
She wants to rap.
Oh, you'd like to rap? This young lady would like to rap to us for a few minutes. Just a second.
I wish I were young.
Hey, is that thing working?
I wish I were a young white person instead of an old one.
A young white person.
Come on, man. Hold.
Well, what I would like to say is that I think it's important to realize that Martin Luther King was one of the few prominent people in the United States who came out against the enemy. It may be that the enemy is war. And I think if you're looking for the black skin to have an even break, you have to remember that there are dark-skinned people all over the world who are being oppressed.
Thank you very much, ma'am. This is what I'm talking about. Oh, value! Do you have anything to say about value?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I understand. I see.
In other words,
I mean, I'm
the
here.
Enemy.
Right.
Okay.
Beautiful. Excuse me.
Betcha.
Excuse me. Peace. Peace. Oh, something like that. Excuse me. No, just a second. Brother, we'd like to say something, please. Come on up.
Yeah, well, what I'm speaking to, I don't need the microphone, is to the black folks in this audience, is that we ought to understand that the day of nonviolence is over with. That man has killed a cat who was his cat, you know. He marched black folks nonviolently through these streets, dealing with a man whose whole history is violent, whose whole breeding, the way he mates, is violent, you see. And the time for black people to pick up their guns like Stokely and the people are talking about in Washington is upon us now. And every brother and sister in here who's got a skill to put over a revolution has a responsibility to put that skill into an organization and to begin to deal with that question. This man has killed people in Vietnam, he's killed black people in the South, and now he's going to pay for the people that he killed. For every one of us that dies in this country from yesterday on, 10 of them will die. And that's where black people have to be in this country. You know, we've got to pick up the gun for militancy. This bullshit nonviolence and all that kind of thing is dead with King. You know, they have killed a brother who preached peace. And we ought to understand that we can no longer deal with the man over the bargaining table or any mechanism like that. The only thing he understands is violence. The only thing that he understands is violence. And that's all we wanted to say.
I would like for all those people out there in the audience who would equate this act to the act of a madman, one man as opposed to the entire structure, to understand that whatever in this country that Stokely Carmichael does, Rap Brown does, all those acts which turn out to be militant are considered the way that the Negro at large wants to handle the whole situation. And I would like those people to understand that this man's act was an act that was bred into him. And his act must be sponsored by the white man in the same way that they want the Negro to take on the acts of Stokely Carmichael, Rap Brown, etc. So I don't want the whites in the audience to think that because one individual committed the act that they themselves are not responsible in some way. And I would also like for you to understand that the day of the Negro, you know, having some type rapport between some white friend and this white friend, you know, going off and the other Negroes that he meets, he has animosities toward them. This day is over. You understand? Because the white man who can think that he has some type rapport, you know, between a Negro, but yet and still, when he sees these atrocities committed, you know, toward the black man, if he can do nothing about this, we no longer need you. You understand? I'm ready for to die for this cause, just like Martin Luther King did. Are you ready to act for it? Are you ready to act for it?
Sorry, don't, ignore him, man. Ignore him. That's what he wants you to do. Okay, wait.
Just one quick one. I'd like to talk to you today about genocide. We had.
Wait,
it's not coming through. Just a second.
Wait. Yeah. We're talking about something
else. Oh, I'm sorry. I was waiting.
Okay.
We're
talking about justice and equality. Give him a chance. He's got something to say too.
Go ahead.
I mean, you know, what are you?
Oh, shit.
I want to talk to our white students here. The day for nonviolence is over unless we act. Unless we quit the crap and the platitudes, and we start a movement to end racism, not only here, but to go back to our suburbs, our lily white racist suburbs, and end the racism where it exists there. Go back to the power structure. Move for jobs, move for housing, move for everything, but move! Don't wait, quit the crap. We need a movement. I'm non-violent, but I go along with some of the material that Stokely has been saying, that the whites haven't, that the whites are too willing to go down the Mississippi, they're too willing to go down Alabama, but they're not willing to go back in their own neighborhoods where the racism exists and where they have the most influence. It's up to whites to talk to whites, to move them, or non-violence is over.
I'm not going to repeat what the last speaker said, but I will add to it. On the way coming down to school today, I asked two people where they had been when they heard the news of Martin Luther King's assassination and what had been the reaction of the people who they were with. And white people, if you want to know what you have to do, this is what you have to do. One student had been working in the bill department of Cousins and Fern. The other white person was working at the Gladden Settlement House in a low-income white area in Columbus. The attitudes, the expressions of the people they were with were the same. They said, "So what are you upset about? He was just a nigger." That was the attitude of white people. White people, you have to work with white people to overcome racism. And then we can join hands with our fellow brethren who are Negro.
For one thing. What you are saying might be good, but I want you to understand, in light of what blacks have said here, that for all practical purposes, Negroes and colored people are dead. You know, there are no Negroes and colored people. This man has an announcement to make. I can't even rap.
At 4 o'clock Sunday in the Lausche building, there's supposed to be a service memorial for Martin Luther King, and it was Reverend Hale has contacted me and George Johnson and asked us that the student body participate in this service. It's the Laoshi building at 4 o'clock, and we propose that all students melt. Yeah, it's on the fairground of the Laoshi building. We propose that all students meet in union at 3:30, and we're going to have a march over to the Laoshi building. So thank you.
Okay, now just a second. Just to have something I said. And don't forget, now this is okay, okay. Sister. Keep it and, hey, let's keep it quiet, all right? Give some respect for the sister.
I just want to say I'm getting tired of being dicked. You know, this is like the end. I got three kids at home, and I don't intend for them to grow up in this shit. I don't intend for them to. And if I can do anything, you know, like it's gotten down to the place now, you know, like the brother says, you know, arm yourself and get ready, baby, because you know the bastards are after you. And you know, if any of you black students like want to get things together, go down on Oak and Wilson, go down there where Long and Garfield, where you can do something, baby, because you can't do shit with them people over in that administration building. That's all over with. They don't want to hear you no more. And stop talking. Hell, you don't want to live in no damn houses up here anyway. You know, hey, you know, if you want a house, you know, go down where you can be with your people. Go where you can lay with your people. Because these bastards up here, they ain't going to mean you no good. And when you get that degree, it don't mean shit.
That's right. Okay.
Because when you get out of here, you, 9 chances out of 10, you ain't going to be able to find. You're going to work at the post office with the masters. You know, you're going to be shuffling mail or you're going to be sweeping. Hey, you may even get a job as a janitor at our new post office. So, you know, like. It ain't here no more. It ain't here on this campus, because this ain't going to get you together. And I'm, you know, I know this.
Okay, sis, let me.
The main problem that I want to say is that black power is not a problem of the Negro. The Negro, in the beginning, wanted to be nonviolent, and I think we saw from the death of Martin Luther King that the white community will not allow this to happen. Racial prejudice is filthy metal fire, and it has to be fought with fire. If you have to burn down some $9,000 a year middle-class man's house to make him pay attention to you, well, then, goddammit, burn it down. Because if you don't act, this man is going to turn up his television. He's going to drink 3 extra beers, and he's going to hope that you go away tomorrow morning like a hangover. And martinis, yeah, 5-1. But you have to organize. And as the lady said, it's not on campus. There's a gentleman over there that's talking logic shit. People are concerned with purist logic on campus. They aren't concerned with the Negro baby that has to sleep in a house with no windows in it. They aren't concerned about the little boy in life that ate plaster because he had nothing to eat. Now, you've got to do it. The American public will not allow the Negro to be nonviolent. And if he will not allow him to be nonviolent, then damn it, show him what you can do. Organize and get out of this microcosmic campus. It's not going to happen here. It definitely is not going to happen here. Go down to Long and Garfield. Go to the Skyline Bar. Go down to the Pink Pussycat Lounge. To hell with the white community. You people have a wealth of information to offer the American public, and they're too goddamn hard-nosed to worry about it. So as I say, if violence is the only way to do it, then you've got to be violent, and you've got to show them that you mean what you say, because nonviolence is definitely a thing of the past, and Martin Luther King's death showed this. He was a very sacred man and a very respected man, and he gave his life towards what he thought was right, and this is how he was repaid, with a bullet in the throat and a bullet in the head. And the white newspapers managed to show up at Mrs. King's house an hour later and ask for a nice objective statement on how she felt.
Right.
Well, all right, this is the problem is you're not going to find it out on campus. This campus is not really concerned with what's happening outside. It's concerned with John Bricker, and it's concerned with the Board of Trustees, and they're concerned with keeping things going because the campus is big business. So you've got to get out on the street. You've got to get out on the street, and you've got to show the white community you mean what you say. And not, as I say, nonviolence is a thing of the past. And the death of Martin Luther King should prove that to everyone here this afternoon.
Hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Wait a second. You talk nice. What are you going to do?
Hang on.
Okay, well, wait just a second. Just a second now.
Hang on.
Okay, because this is all. I'm sorry, but this is.
Everybody gets the chance. Everybody gets the chance.
No, you can't do that.
Unfortunately. Wait a minute. You tell me when I can't do.
You can't do that on this show.
Who is? Are you?
No, all of us are running. This is justice for everyone.
We
can all speak.
We don't want to speak.
No, no. That's
right. Wait a minute. Easy.
The black meat.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
The white meat was over there. Get the white meat. That's why we came over here.
Hey, Hey, how about it? How about some peace?
American.
Just sit down for a second. I want to say something. Now, just a second. Listen. I did something. Wait a second. It is getting out of hand. Now, see, I wanted an opportunity, give an opportunity for some white people who have something of value to say. Now, what I'm trying to say, yeah, thank you. I'm trying to, you see, now wait a minute, man. Do you have something to say?
Yes, I said it.
Huh?
Who are you to set in judgment? No, I have a microphone right here. Who are you to judge whether or not it's of value or not?
All whites and Uncle Tom, leave now.
Yeah, including you, brother. Including you.
All whites and Uncle Tom, leave now. These people.
There is no arguing in front of whites. You are here, and you're trying to turn this into some kind of little civil gathering, a picnic. You're laughing. You're making jokes. There is no arguing in front of the man. If you're going to talk to him, if you're going to kill him, then you got to quit arguing in front of the man. Don't let him know where you're coming from. If you don't like it, keep your mouth shut. Tell him over there somewhere. Don't put your hands on me. Let it lay. Leave this place. The day is over. If there's going to be a revolution, let blacks take. Don't argue in front of this man. Let it lay. You know. And you're laughing out there. And you're making jokes. And you're trying to pacify your damn self. That day is gone, fool. There is no more pacification. 145th and Linux is rocking right now. People are going to be killed all across the goddamn nation. And if you don't get it together, we'll kill you. And I don't doubt about it. Don't argue in front of these damn people. Let it lay.
They want to hear us argue. They're going to laugh as mockery.
Can we have a quiet, please?
Can
I have a...
Identify.
Look, okay.
Identify.
Look, I'm John Evans, supposedly head of the Black Student Union on this campus. Now, when we got this thing together, it was supposed to have been blacks rapping. We gave a chance for whites to rap. We're trying to be very democratic. Now, one of the things which has perpetually turned me off about so-called intellectuals is that they're somewhat retarded themselves. Now, supposedly we're trying to talk to an intellectual crowd. We see that many people here working on their bachelor's, master's, PhDs are also very retarded. We're trying to get some points over to them. Now, you run around with your 3.5s and your 4 points and you think you're heavy, and you're not. Because, see, you're not even getting an education here. One of the things that we tried to bring up, we know about genocide here in America. We know that black people are being killed in Vietnam. We know that we cannot vote. We cannot have a right to participation. Even when we ask the university for certain demands which have been neglected for 98 years, they have been denied systematically. We are tired of this. But we still go on a diplomatic basis to the people. And they let us down at all times. And the black people are getting tired of this. So then the whites come and ask, what can they do about it? Student Assembly asks, what can they do about it? President Fawcett asks, what can he do about it? As far as I'm concerned, the man was very retarded. The school is retarded. You didn't even give any relevancy towards black people. That's us. We are also human beings. We're not 3/5 of an individual. We don't need any civil rights bills. The Bill of Rights and the Constitution give us everything that we need as citizens. But why do you have to pass a bill? Or why are we, irregardless of whatever feelings we have, they're looked over until a man is killed? So you get this polarization like we have today. And the people remember for 2 or 3 weeks. And then they go back into their bag. Now, if we're going to conduct this situation up here, it would be very nice if we could do it in an orderly, so-called intellectual manner. But as I stated once again, the intellectuals on this campus are retarded also. They're 10th grade dropout alcoholics with more intelligence than people right here listening to me. So you're not getting an education. You're getting a training. and the training is distorted. It's very distorted. Now, if anybody wants to come up here and speak and rap their viewpoint, that's cool. If you're rapping to blacks and you're going to try and tell them that, like, you've been apathetic and things like this, we do not want to hear this because we know about this. We know that you have had your feet on our chest and tell us for 349 years that you people are apathetic. We do not want to hear this bullshit. We've heard it time and time again. We know that the laws and the courts are phony. They're a bunch of bullshit also. If everything was guaranteed on paper and with laws and as many litigations as we've went through, we wouldn't have no problems. We wouldn't have a Martin Luther King. He would not have had to try and do what he did. And once again, the white society breeding its sickness, and there are people right here who would probably like to shoot some of us. It's no difference. Now, when we talked to the Vietnam Peace Committee 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we ran the many whites who are right here talking about they're against the war over in Vietnam and they don't see the war right here in America, we said that these people have not looked at the situation. America is typical of cleaning up everybody else's backyard and then coming home last, and they've never come home.
Kill that dog.
Okay, just a minute. As we announced earlier, at 3:30 Sunday, there's going to be a march up to the fairgrounds, up to the Lousy Building. And one of the things...
It's redundant as hell. You've heard it many times before. The man gives him 35 cents. Next year, he gives the man a dollar and asks for change. He gives him 50 cents. He says, well, what are you bitching about? Things are getting better. The hell with that shit. The man gives you a dollar. He expects a dollar. Negroes that fought in the Second World War, came home. I hate to use this. It's redundant as hell. You've heard it many times before. But he came home only to take the back seat of the bus. Germans sat on the front of the bus. He fought in the Korean World War. Many of his brothers, his uncles, his fathers were killed. When he came home after the Korean War, the Negroes still sat in the back of the bus. The Koreans were sitting in the front of the bus. And now the Negroes in Vietnam, fighting for democracy and freedom. When he comes home, baby, he'll still be in the back of the bus. Forget law and order. Law and order does not work. What the Negro needs is justice now. I think we have too many politicians who are hung up in this vicious cycle of due process of law. The due process of law was implemented when the Constitution was written, when emancipation took place. What the Negro is asking for is equal opportunity, equal rights, equal duties, equal obligations, not 10 years from now, but today. Damn it, in the near future, I'll have kids. I want my kids to have the same rights as any other American citizen. And believe me, before I allow my kids to walk down the street, to be intimidated, to be called a nigger, damn it, I'll destroy this country first. I am an American citizen, damn it. Salvation for all or salvation for none. The hell with this lip service. The hell with going to church every Sunday and patting yourselves on the back saying, oh my God, we're good Christian people. One nation under God. The land of the free, the home of the brave. Where is the brave? Where is the free?
Okay, we're doing all this fighting, burning down our own shops. What's that proving? Let's burn down the white folks' shops.
Man, that's right. Why should we burn down our own shops? Why should we burn down our own shop? The question is, I feel the Negro's in the deepest part of the Valley of Despair. He feels what he has is not worth living for. A man can die many ways. Every time you knock on a house and you ask for room, you see the ad in the paper, you see the... You call up on the phone, you ask the man, well, hell, is there a house vacant or isn't there a house vacant? He says, yes, you run over there. And he says, oh, my God, I just rented it 2 minutes ago. Oh, baby, you're dead. You're dead. You have to stand up. You have to have some basis to hold your head up. A man cannot have a door slammed in his face over and over and over again and still call himself a man. A man cannot bring kids in this world without providing him the full constitutional rights and still consider himself a man. Baby, give me liberty or give me death, but if I die, this country goes with me.
I just want to say one thing. One person here said that the colored people are dead. They are dead. The black people are dead to hypocrisy, to racism, to injustices. And I grew up with, I have a lot of colored friends. I want to say something. Wait a minute. I want to say something. I want to say something. I'm directing my comments to the whites. I'm directing my comments to the whites.
Let the man talk, Jesus Christ.
Can we have it quiet in here, please?
The white people in this country are only interested in themselves, and they better realize that if there is not justice for the black people in this country, there will be no country. If it's going to take burning homes down, then I'm all for it.
Don't burn mine, burn yours, Buster.
If it takes burning the white homes down, then I'm all for it, because materialistic things mean nothing. We're talking about justice and freedom and life. The people in the dormitories, the white guys in the dorms and the fraternities, they're not interested in going out. They're not interested in going out. If you want to have a future, white people, if you want to have a future, you better join the black people in a march for justice, in burning homes down for justice. It's your future.
Work with your own people. We don't need white sympathizers. We got to work amongst ourselves. You go amongst yourselves.
That's right.
Can we have it quiet, please?
You don't mind being late.
If you're white...
He's got a class. He helps it.
We're gonna let Professor Green speak.
He's got a class. He helped set this up. Make it an
honor. I don't care if he had set it up. That's irrelevant.
If you're white,
can we have it quiet, please?
You don't mind being late.
If you're white, and you want to know what you can do besides feel sorry for yourself, here's what you can do. Am I turned on or turned off? I think I'm turned off. I got two envelopes here. One says nonviolent for the people who still believe in it. The other says standard American for the people who know what America is. If you believe in nonviolence, which means if you believe in getting your foot off the other man's chest, not the next guy's foot, which means if you believe in giving up your right to hold a gun and to point it in Detroit or in Harlem or in Washington, if you believe that you've got to say no, then you fill up this envelope. This is the nonviolent envelope. You know what's in it? It used to say Selective Service System, Local Board Number 17, New York City. And it was a way for the man to say to me, you've got to take the gun and you've got to kill people, even if they send you to Detroit, even if they send you to Washington. That's the wrong envelope he just put it in. And if you're going to say, I won't point that gun in Washington or in Detroit or anywhere else in the world, then you start filling up this envelope as I have. And don't wait for the other man to make a commitment to nonviolence. And no man here, from this day forth, can tell me he is committed to nonviolence if he doesn't put his ticket in the envelope. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. The other envelope, the one that says Standard American, hasn't got tickets in it. It's got money. And what's the money for? The money's for people who don't believe in nonviolence. Because those people have to redress the balance of violence. So this money, and I mean this now, is to get the gun for the man who hasn't got it. So he can protect himself against the man who has got it. And I don't have to tell you which is which, because you know. And if you tell me that you believe in equality, you believe in all those fine things that
that you're so happy that Dr. King stood for, now is the time to put up or shut up. And I want these things go around and hold them high so nobody goes off with the envelope. And I mean it. You got to fill up one or the other. And maybe, maybe you got to fill up both. Because you know what's going to happen in this country. Even if you repeal your own right to kill, you know you won't be repealing everybody else's. You know the guns will still be there. So maybe you have to do two things to redress that balance. You've got to take the gun out of your hand, and you've got to give it to the man who needs it. Not because you want killing to increase, but because you want killing to decrease. And when the government talks about credible deterrence, they know what they mean, and you've got to know what you mean. This, my friends, is a credible deterrent. You can hear it. You can see it. It's the only deterrent that is credible now, and you've got to know it. So fill up one or the other, or both. But don't any white man, or any man or woman, tell me that he's sorry for what happened, that he wishes it hadn't happened, that he wishes it won't happen again, and then walk away and leave the envelopes empty. Put up or shut up. You haven't got any other alternatives. You haven't got them today. You haven't got them tomorrow. And you won't have them again. So you got to make good. Right now. I want these things to come back full. Because that's a commitment. Tears are not a commitment. Ask any black man here, he'll tell you. Commitments are commitments. And that's what these are. So make it for yourself right now. And don't just make the commitment to nonviolence and then go home very quietly and feel everything's okay, because the man back in the selective service system is not gonna know you made the commitment. You write to your local director of the draft board, and you say to him that I can no longer accept the distinction between the white man's good violence and the black man's bad violence. And you say that you are dissociating yourself permanently from the institutional violence which that little white card binds you to. And if you can't sign it with a fancy title on the bottom, just sign it with your name. He'll get the message. And if you don't send the message to him, you know it's not worth sending. And you know it's a cop-out. And it's too late for cop-outs. So let's deliver. Right now, today.
Give me number one.
Mm-hmm. Let's get it going.
Bat it around.
This is the money envelope. That's for white men only.
Last night, a great American died.
Speak up.
Last night, a great American died. The greatest American of my lifetime. He believed in what America stands for, but not what America is. He wanted America to be what it stands for. We've seen hundreds, thousands of innocent Negro children die. Soon we're going to see innocent white children die, is there a difference? Why does it take the white man, the Caucasian, all this time to see what's going on? We're able to go door to door, recruiting for Kennedy, for McCarthy, for Nixon. Why can't we go door to door, recruiting for America? We've got a Constitution, we've got a Bill of Rights, a Declaration of Independence.
I know, but they don't know who you are.
Why?
I don't have anything to add to what already has been said here today. I just would like to make one announcement. There will be a peace parade, and that includes peace at home as well as peace abroad. Meeting at Franklin Park. Due to a city ordinance, the time has been changed to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That'll be the 27th of April. Everyone is invited. We already have guaranteed contingents from Columbus from colleges in the Columbus area within a 50-mile radius of 1,000 people. We expect a good turnout from here at Ohio State. That will be the 27th of April. All groups are invited to participate. Leaving from Franklin Park, meeting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There will be speakers. There will be speakers. The issue is peace at home and peace abroad. All people are invited.
Go ahead, Al. Hey, brothers, I'm going to tell you something. I've been standing here for an hour, and I've heard hunkies come up and tell you, go out and burn homes. I'm going to tell you, don't go out and burn homes. Go to war. I'm going to tell you, go to war. They want you out in the streets so they can commit genocide against you, but they're not going to do it. You go to war. You understand that? You go home, and you plan that war now. So.
Okay, well, for everybody that doesn't know, I'm Fred Davis. Everybody wants to make a speech because I'm running for president of the student body. Well, really, I don't think that enters into Dr. King's death because everybody knows where I stand. I don't dig Whitey a bit, because he's a bitch. Every time I talk to him, you learn that a little more. And that's something you learn at this university, that he's a bitch, and you can't deal with him, you can't talk to him. And so really, I don't think I need to make a speech because I think most of the black people who are really black, should get themselves together, know where they stand, and go ahead and do what they're supposed to do. They don't need to talk about it in front of the white man, to get up on podiums and say it, to get their name in the paper, or anything else. Because as far as I know, it would be nice if we had a little violence in Columbus. You know, I mean, this is the way I feel about it. Personally, I get tired of reading the newspaper and finding out that they're doing something down there, and we're reading about it, talking about how nice it is. You know, it's really nice the brothers and get themselves together down there. What are we doing up here? We've got the Black Student Union that half of us don't support. Where are we? So that's, you know, my stand as it is. I don't need a speech to make it clear.
I don't know.
It's for you too. Yeah, I stand for nonviolence.
Bullshit.
But where's it gonna go, man? Where's the war gonna go? Nobody's gonna win. The only answer is for Whitey to make the commitment. As long as there's hillbillies and niggers and colored people and second-class citizens, then I'm going to be a second-class citizen. That's the kind of burn that's going to get you there when Whitey wakes up.
Where's the lighter?
We still haven't got the money envelope back. I guess it's still circulating.
I got it.
You got it? Okay, we got it.
Let me just tell him one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
You might as well know the results of this short lab course in commitment. So far, we got 9 commitments to nonviolence. That means we better have an awful lot of money in here, my friends. An awful lot of money. We can try again with both of these, but you gotta know what the results are. We're gonna send these around a little bit more, see if we get a little bit more nonviolence. If we can't get that, let's get a lot more money. And let's cut out the clinking stuff now. I wanna hear the stuff that's crisp. Because clinking stuff does not redress a balance. It's not credible anymore. So let's go.
Let's send these around again.
Have a question for us?
You can find us at go.osu.edu/archives, facebook.com/OhioStateArchives, or at Buckeye History on Twitter.
And we may answer your question on an upcoming episode. Until next time,
go Bucks!